Go ahead, brother.
All right. He'll listen, but he won't remember. I'm not sure how to start, but I'll just dig in. I was just thinking about, we'll get there in just a moment. I was thinking about, you know, the problem with America today. It's not America. It's not the people that live in America. It's the church. We've given up on a battle that's already won. And we go out there like we're defeated. We go in here like we're defeated. We have men that don't stand up and say what's supposed to be said. I'll get there. I want to step on toes first, so. But I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, I was just thinking about even our church, for instance. We have Sunday school teachers. And this morning there was three women teaching the Sunday school. And praise God for the ladies who were willing to step up and step out in faith and teach a Sunday school class. You know what? Praise God that there are mothers out there who do what's right, even though there's no reason or cause. So I just want to, maybe the Mother's Day kick there, for even though that's way past, but I was sitting there and thinking about that. It's like, you know, men ought to be leaders in the home, in the church, and we see that failure in the home often, time and time again. Myself, in my home as well, I fail to read my Bible daily. And what a shame that is to me, to be that example for my children. But their mom is out there sitting in the kitchen, sitting down at the table, reading her Bible, being that example that I'm not. Praise God for moms. And I think back to my mom, who did things that were above and beyond the call of duty for wives, who stayed in an abusive relationship because she thought it was best for her children, and I believe it was. Excuse me. This is supposed to be about work. Not praising godly women who step out and do what us men are not. We have to do better. Excuse me. Just thank God for my mom, who started bringing us to church and then made us do it faithfully and made us go to Sunday school for all those years. And she suffered greatly because of those things. But I'm here today because of her. So praise God for godly moms. I think of Deborah from the Bible. It's like, I don't think that was necessarily the position that Deborah was biblically set up to be in. But she stepped out and she done what a godly woman should have. And when no men were standing up for what was right, she did. So praise God that there are women out there who will stand up, and no matter what, they do what's right, even though it's hard, even though it's sacrifice. But shame on us men for allowing it to happen. So if I stomp down on some toes, remember it's my toes I'm stomping on also. Man, we have to get to work. I titled my message the four-letter word, work. So easy to come to church and sit and fill a pew and sing the songs and praise God, but there's more to it than that. There's be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There's a job to be done. let's go ahead and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. And then we'll go ahead and if we stand for that, we'll pray after that. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we just pray that you'll help us to be changed by it and not just stirred, Lord. We just want your will in our lives for our homes and our houses and our we want our men to be on fire. I want to be set on fire for you, Lord. Lord, someday I hope to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, though I'm undeserving. Lord, I want that. And I want that for my brothers. Lord, and we just pray that you'll give us that fire and that you'll set us on fire again, Lord, and that you'll revive the men of this church, the men of this town, the men of this state, the men of this country, Lord, the men who are in churches, who are learning your word and hearing it, Lord, that we'll be set on fire so that we can't sit still when we have to tell our brothers. Lord, help us to be the leaders in our homes that we ought to. Help us to put in the work. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this will probably go pretty quick as soon as I can see through my contacts. I would have worn my glasses, but I had some short helper got a hold of them and made them two separate ordeals. I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 2 and 2 through 10 here. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby the nature of the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember that we can't work our way to heaven. It's not a matter of how hard we try and how much work we put into it. But our country suffers when we don't put in our work. Our children are the ones who are really going to suffer when we don't put in the work. It's not. If we want to be patriotic, we'll remember that starts at home. That starts with fathers standing up and doing their job. It is work, because my dad would say, work hurts. Work is hard. It's not the easy things that we do. It's the hard things. We keep grinding at it. I think about, you know, work is, for moms, it's cleaning the house a lot of the times. How many times have you cleaned the house and it's done? It's good forever. I think that we all realize where that's going. It's an ongoing process. It's a daily grind. It's you get up in the morning and you start cleaning And when you get done in the evening, you keep cleaning, because those children do not clean up after themselves. Your husbands do not clean up after themselves. We're building houses, we're building homes, we're building families, men. And we're failing, and we will fail. That's a given. But we have to start working at it. Not giving the excuse, you know, as a boss, one of the things that's like grinding fingers on a chalkboard is excuses of why something couldn't get done. I gave you a task. I don't really care how you get it done. I don't care how hard it is. I gave you the task so that you could take care of it. I feel bad for Alton over here because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Excuses are like that grinding chalk. And men, we have excuses from here to the moon. But we have young people watching us to make the right calls, to stand up and for our country, for our Bible, for all of these things. We have to put in the work. It's easy to sit here and listen and hear. Well, maybe not this evening, I don't know. I hope God's speaking to your heart about how to put this, lighting a fire under our bottoms and putting us to the plow. We have a job to be done. We have a family to raise. We have a country to be saved. If we look around, the world is in disarray. Our country is in disarray. And it's not because the world is full of evil people. It's because the church is full of lazy men. Myself included. I'll tell you that my notes for this, I had an idea several times of what I was going to talk about, and I kept putting it off and putting it off. And just the last couple hours here, I finished out my notes with the last few ordeals, but I'm a terrible procrastinator and I'm awful lazy, and I'm going to pay for it someday, and I have to change because my children are counting on it. Because my son is counting on me to be the example that I ought to be. There's this analogy out there that about how many of you have done anything with carpentry, cut lumber, or we'll take a board. Pastor Bodie used this analogy years and years ago. You take a board and you cut it to length and you put it in. But you got 20 or 30 other boards that you got to cut to that same length. So now you've taken that board and you mark the next one and so on and so forth. And you use that same length of board again and again. You'll take the first one and you'll install it. And that second one that you transferred the mark to, you'll cut it. And then you'll use that one to transfer the mark to the next one. And then you'll take that mark from that one and transfer it to the next one. And all the time, you're moving an eighth or a sixteenth. It's really not that big a deal in one board, is it? One generation removed, we've been moving. We've been measuring ourselves up to our fathers, and we have to stop, men, because our fathers continued to let that mark slip. They didn't measure up to the mark of Christ, and neither will we. But that's our mark. It's the mark of Christ. That's the standard. That's where we need to be. We can't continue to say, well, I'm almost as good as my father. We have to do better. Our mark needs to be up there, not here where our father was. Our heavenly father, that's our mark. Men, we have to do better. If we keep moving the mark in another generation or two, there'll be nothing left. We need men who are teachers in our homes, men who are teachers in our churches. We need Sunday school teachers. And I think the bright ones are men. like I said before, praise God for the women that step up and do it. But I really believe in my heart that it ought to be men, so that we can show these young men who the Sunday school teachers ought to be, who the leaders in the church ought to be. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with a woman Sunday school teacher. Praise God that they're stepping up and doing what we are not. Sometimes the work gets hard and grueling. Waking up every morning thinking about the work to be done. We just have to put our hands to the task. Do the next right move. The world can be saved through men doing the next right thing. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Proverbs 6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Our church is in poverty. Not so much money-wise. I think God is taking care of it there. But our jobs, our work in the church, it's suffering because it's also suffering at home. Men are not where they ought to be. We think about our jobs where we go to work and they pay us immediately. You know, we want that instant gratification where we get paid, we go to work and we get paid on Friday. We can see it. It's we can hold that in our hands, can't we? The day's coming when that work is in vain. It'll burn away. It'll be gone. We have to go out and earn for our families and provide for them. But there's an end to that. And there's a vanity in it. Because it'll just blow away and burn up. But those things that we do for God, the work that we put in our children in a godly manner, is so important. God's word will not return void. If we're instilling God's word in our children, fathers, that word it can't return void. I think God's word is so powerful that just putting it in young people and cramming it down their throats, if you will, it can't do nothing. You think of the greatest poets there are in the world. Their poetry dies because you can say those pastor comes up here and tell us how he could tell the greatest poem in the world to his wife time and time again. It'll die. It won't mean anything, but God's word will always mean something. Always. But we have fathers who aren't instilling it in their young people. We have fathers who aren't ramming it down their throats. I don't think we should ram it down their throats. I guess that's probably who aren't bathing their children in it daily, who aren't showing them that they themselves are studying it and soaking it up and digging it out. Our children are at stake. The world has a really great process and a perfect ordeal set up to get our children. It's all those shiny lures out there, all those trinkets, all that money to keep them in God's word, to keep them in the church, to keep them protected. it's going to take work. Because the world has everything out there against them. And they're going to get some of them. Watch out that it's not yours. Put in the work. I know it's a four-letter word and it's not easy. And we think that maybe we're not getting paid for it, but we are. When we're in heaven one day and our children are there with us and our children's children, and by the grace of God, your children's children's children, it'll be worth it. You know, Pastor Prettyman was up here. He said he's not going to be satisfied with just his children being in heaven. He wants his grandchildren. And it starts with fathers in the home. You know, I see these graphs where it talks about if you get a child in the church, there's so many percent chance that the whole home will be saved. And then if you get the mom in the church, it goes up. It's like 30% that you'll get the whole family saved. But if the father gets saved, it's 95% that you'll save the whole family. There's a reason for that. It's because fathers are to be the leaders in their homes. Wives, whether they like it or not, will follow their husbands. Because it's a natural process that God put in our hearts. He put it there. That's why men are to be leaders. And we're not doing it. You can see by the state of our world. You can see by the state of our churches. You can see by the state of our town. You just keep running down the list. The buck stops here. It stops in your home, fathers. I don't think I read this. Colossians 3, 22 and 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whosoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I know that this word work is a hard word. It implies something. It's not easy because work is supposed to hurt. We see time and time again where I have really bad carpal tunnel in my hand from work, from turning wire nuts. I just about can't do this. Work hurts. It costs something. There's sacrifice in it. That's why it's hard, because there's sacrifice in it. There's your time. There's your effort. There's your energy. But when you work for the Lord, it's not in vain. It has something coming. There's a payment that you can't see, and you won't get it on Friday unless you die on Friday and see the Lord. But you don't get your paycheck for this on Friday, but you'll get it throughout your life when you see your children serving the Lord. And when you see your children's children serving the Lord, there's payment here, though not as great as when you get to heaven and you see the real payment. When God comes to you and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Romans 8, and I think it's verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not in vain. The work we do won't be in vain. If we'll sit down and we'll put our hands to the plow, and yeah, we'll get some blisters and there'll be some sacrifice and there'll be some things that hurt afterwards. But the payment will be gold. You can't get it anywhere else. And it'll be eternal. So I hope that today that we'll take that home with us. I didn't speak for too long. I hope that it sinks in. I hope that we'll remember the ladies who stand up and serve when the men don't. The moms who do what's right even though the husbands don't. It's a great thing that they do. But men, it's time for us to stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we just pray that you help us to realize there's a job for us to be to do, and that it's we've been allowing our wives to do it, and that's great because somebody has to do it. But Lord, I just pray that you give us the heart to be ourselves, the ones who say, "I'm going to step up and I'm going to be the man that I ought to be." Lord, myself included in that, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that you'll change us and not just stir us, that you won't give us the ability to go back to the way we were. Give us a desire to serve you. Give us a desire to put in the work. Help us to see the profit in it. Help us to see the importance. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask that we have a